You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Each week, the JX looks around Southern Oregon and Northern California to learn about one city or town in our listening region. Today, we're talking with Tanya Graham. She's the mayor of Ashland, Oregon. Welcome to the Exchange, Mayor.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be here.
Let's begin with geography. Where is Ashland located?
Ashland is about 14 miles north of the California border. We are a beautiful little town nestled in the foothills of Mount Ashland, and we have about six and a half square miles of land. We have about 22,000 people, and in my mind, we are the best place in the world, but I'm a little biased.
Okay, and you sit right along the I-5 corridor.
Yes, we do. We are the first city along the I-5 corridor as you come into Oregon from California.
Okay, so there's about 21,000 people living here. What are the demographics, you would say?
We are primarily a white. We have a small number of other folks who live here from other races and religions. We also have a bit of a skewed demographic at this point. Oregon itself does, and so does Jackson County, but Ashland has a larger number of retirees than we might expect a community of our size to have. So that's how it's looking at this moment, but there's a lot of work being done to make Ashland a friendly place for new families, make it easier for them to live here. Like many places, we struggle with affordability, but that's what we've been working on for a while, and we're starting to see the fruits of those labors.
Well, Ashland's a worldwide destination.
We are.
Why?
Ashland has long had a history of theater with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and also art, music. The natural beauty of the area is unparalleled. We're right on the borders or right near Crater Lake, and you can get to the coast from here. So it's a wonderful place to have as kind of a base camp for Southern Oregon and then be able to do day trips, come back and have a lovely meal and go to the theater. It really is a wonderful place to be.
Well, it sounds like the playground of Southern Oregon.
It is.
But it's also a college town.
It is, absolutely. And Southern Oregon University is a key anchor for our community, not only from an economic standpoint, but also from a cultural standpoint. Communities are very lucky if they get to have a university, especially one of the quality that SOU is. It allows us to have a number of things that come to us, programming and music and all sorts of things that we wouldn't have without the university here.
And it's not only an economic engine as well as OSF, but it's also an engine of diversity and inclusion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Many of the people who are in this community who bring us that diversity are coming to us either as professors and employees of the university or as students.
Okay. So when did you come to Ashland?
I came first in 1992, and then I came back in about 1997. So I've been here for quite some time.
Okay.
I actually went to SOU for a little bit. I took some classes here.
So you're a patron of the arts. Why did you run for mayor?
I ran for mayor after being on the council previously because I saw a lot of challenges coming to the city, and I believed that municipal government was going to have to change in order to help its community move through those challenges. Back in the day, municipal government just did the basics. It was fire, police, planning, parks, streets, that kind of thing. But the world was pushing on us to step into some of these other questions, questions like housing affordability, homeless services, education and child care, early child care, early learning kind of programming. And I saw that Ashland had these challenges coming and also had such a fantastic community that would rally around them that I wanted to make the city a really great partner in that work.
Okay, well, the city is growing, but at a very slow pace. It's intentional growth, as I understand it, and there are urban growth boundaries around the city as well.
Yes. In every city across Oregon, we have urban growth boundaries. We have a very different land use process than what you see in other states. But in Ashland, we are now starting to see growth that is significantly larger and faster than what we've seen in the past. So we have a number of housing developments that are in process or land that is finally coming available and to be developed. It's finally being cleaned up, that kind of thing, and it's about to be that development process is starting. So what we've seen in the past in terms of growth, I think, is going to change going forward. And one of the things we're looking at the city is how can we make sure that an appropriate amount of that growth is in housing for workforce and for lower income people so that the people who work here can live here.
And that goes back to that affordability factor. Housing is challenging for everyone, wherever you live.
Absolutely.
And folks who cannot afford housing oftentimes find themselves houseless.
Absolutely. And what we're seeing now is that population of people is more likely to be elders now than in the past. So the homeless population is shifting as the baby boomers come into this space and as housing becomes less affordable, we're seeing more and more elders on the street.
So Ashland sits in a scenic location, as you said, in the foothills of Mount Ashland, but its city offices still seem to be looking for a home after moving from the plaza. So what's the latest news?
So the latest news, or the early news part of this, is that we discovered a broken beam at City Hall and had to move our staff out. There was a snowstorm coming in the winter, and we needed to move people and get them to a safer location. They've been spread across city facilities at this point, and what we are doing is looking at City Hall as part of a larger facilities question that is in front of the city, but also looking to figure out what is this in the meantime. So some of the people have moved into the community center, which has just been renovated. It hasn't been opened yet for rentals, so some of the people were put in there quickly. But now the longer-term question of where do they stay on a more permanent basis while we deal with City Hall, that is being worked on at the city manager's office.
Okay, so there's no solution.
There's no solution yet, but it's being worked on. And our City Hall issue has been one that's been a long time in the making. For about 25 years, we've been talking about what to do with City Hall. We tried to put a bond initiative forward, but it happened to be in the spring of 2020, right as the pandemic was coming along. And so now we're coming back to it. The beam has pushed that conversation forward even faster. But the important thing is that our staff are safe. We're going to get them moved to a place so that the community can be using the community center once it's able to be opened. And the community itself is going to have to answer some questions about what do we want in terms of our civic presence downtown? How do we want city operations to happen so that they can be the most efficient? And then make a plan and implement it.
Okay, so I know that timeline is right up on us.
It is.
So the city council recently voted that the city could not stay in the community center. So the city is moving where?
So there has been a miscommunication, and I think that that's an important thing to understand here. The intention was never to keep our staff in the community center and keep it from being rented out to the public. Mm-hmm. It was simply an immediate place to put them so that they could have a safe place to work. We are looking at other places. The city has the ability to rent additional spaces if that's what's needed. We know how important the community center is, and certainly a lot of people came out to a conversation that the council held last month. And so the council is making some policy decisions around those buildings, Pioneer Hall and the community center, but the intention was never to keep the community from being able to rent that space.
Gotcha. My guest is Tanya Graham, mayor of Ashland, Oregon. Now, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is entering its 2026 season after a successful season in 2025. But just down the road, Southern Oregon University is still struggling financially. Now, these two big local economic engines, how they go, the city goes. How do the challenges facing these institutions impact the city itself?
I think it would be hard to overestimate the impact that these major community anchors have, both in terms of our economy and also in terms of our culture. How we see ourselves is a university town, we're a theater town. If either one of these major anchors were to not be able to move forward, it would have an enormous impact on us. Of course, it would impact our tax base. It would impact our property values and that sort of thing. So there'd be a direct financial impact to the city. But the disturbance of it also causes a lot of issues for the city, right? If we suddenly had a campus that was didn't have people in it, then we have a different issue in terms of law enforcement and making sure that those buildings stay safe while we try to help our partners redevelop. And that's a future that we have no interest in imagining. And that's why we've been working very hard to be a good partner to Southern Oregon University, working with them on their master plan process, and also supporting them in their legislative efforts to in this last session to get some assistance. So we were able to put out a call to our other local electeds across the valley. They responded immediately. The county commission came through. Mayors across the valley stepped up and helped us let the legislature know how important Southern Oregon University is to this community and, in fact, to the entire Southern Oregon region.
Yeah, it's community support. Now, I know that both of these economic engines also affect small businesses and the chamber.
Absolutely.
So where's the chamber's role in all of this?
And so the chamber has been very active. I can't speak for them in terms of their specific programming, but they have been very busy working with Southern Oregon University and this Shakespeare Festival. Because you're exactly right, the ripple impact out from these anchors are critically important. We see a lot of our local businesses cater to students. They offer things that students need or want. Same thing with theater goers downtown. So the folks who are running lodging establishments, restaurants, retail shops, they all depend on students and visitors coming into this community. And so if that's why it is so important that the city work with these two major economic drivers to keep them healthy and to help them deal with these challenges that really everyone is facing. You know, universities across the state are facing the same thing as SOU. They're just a little bit further behind them. And the same thing is happening with live theater. The OSF is one of the theaters that has been coming back stronger in the field than many other theaters have been. So we're doing well, but we're facing common challenges.
Yeah, there are so many challenges that cities, small and large, are facing. What are your top priorities?
Oh, that's a big question, Mike. There are two spheres of issues right now happening. One is the immediacy of what's happening in the world. So we know our residents are dealing with rising costs for housing, for food, for transportation. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. So in that sense, we need to be solid. We need to make sure that the services that we offer, our utilities, our public safety services, all of those are delivering the services that our people need. We also need to be addressing some long-term issues. We talked a little bit about City Hall, but there we have deferred maintenance across our system. There are a lot of issues that come to us because of some of the regulatory requirements from the state that keep us from being able to keep up with some of these expenses. So we have big questions in front of us about what do we do with some of the land we have? Where do we put city operations? What role, if any, will City Hall have for us in our downtown? And unfortunately, those decisions are coming up, and they have to be answered in this time where we have all of this uncertainty and all of these other immediate challenges. So the economic challenges that we're facing, that our local businesses are facing, that's a big part of it. We have influence over that, and that's why it's important for us to be good partners and to see where can we leverage the city's resources and our programs to help strengthen our local economy and make it easier for local residents to have what they need and to carry on in their lives here.
Okay, so as much as you can, create a level of certainty in a society that is dealing with a lot of uncertainty.
Exactly. People in Ashland have been able to count on their city for excellent services for a very long time. So it's critical that we maintain that we not add to that uncertainty. And we have to navigate as a community through some big questions. And that's difficult to do when you're not in an atmosphere of uncertainty. But we'll do it. We will make our way through.
Okay, so in our last 30 seconds, what's your overall vision for Ashland?
The Ashland of the future that I envision is one where we have a wide diversity of people who live here, where neighbors continue to help each other, where the city provides excellent services, where all of us are able to get to these incredible cultural and outdoor treasures that we have here in Ashland. And that means that we've protected these critically important anchors in our community. And we've not only kept them safe, but we have helped them build into what their next iteration is going to be.
For future generations. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Mike.
My guest was Tanya Graham, Mayor of Ashland, Oregon.